This is episode 57 of Our Modern Heritage, the new Home and Family Culture podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. In this episode, I've got another solo episode coming at ya. And this time, I think you will be very enlightened, and I hope that it's something that will be enriching to you. It's something that will get you to think more about the way that we manage our family culture and why we feel so discouraged sometimes when we hear about new concepts that are supposed to be educational or inspiring, and sometimes we feel a sense of guilt or discouragement about learning those things. So something that I've been listening to and learning about lately is this concept called divine discontent. And in a talk that was given at a women's conference back in October by Michelle Craig, she discussed this concept of divine discontent. And Neil Maxwell often used this term in the speeches and talks that he would give. And he describes these times when God unsettles our comfort to inspire us to make a change in our lives. Michelle Craig describes divine discontent like this. Divine discontent comes when we compare what we are to what we have the power to become. And it's not, I think that may have been a quote from Neil Maxwell. Each of us, this is Craig continuing, if we are honest, feels a gap between where and who we are and where and who we want to become. We yearn for greater personal capacity. We have these feelings because we are daughters and sons of God, born with the light of Christ, yet living in a fallen world. These feelings are God-given and create an urgency to act. Neil Maxwell says that these feelings bring us to a higher level of consecration and will cure ambivalence and casualness in any of us. Michelle Craig goes on to say that we should welcome feelings of divine discontent that call us to a higher way, while recognizing and avoiding Satan's counterfeit, paralyzing discouragement. This is a precious space. This is all quoting Michelle Craig. This is a precious space into which Satan is all too eager to jump. We can choose to walk the higher path that leads us to seek for God and his peace and grace, or we can listen to Satan, who bombards us with messages that we will never be enough, rich enough, smart enough, beautiful enough, anything enough. Our discontent can become divine or destructive. And then she goes on to say, one way we tell divine discontent from Satan's counterfeit is that divine discontent will lead us to faithful action. Divine discontent is not an invitation to stay in our comfort zone, nor will it lead us to despair. I have learned that when I wallow in thoughts of everything I am not, I do not progress, and I find it much more difficult to feel and follow the Spirit. So I find that this concept is very interesting and enlightening, because when I started learning about this idea and this concept about family culture and noticing that there were some families that just seemed to have it all together, or there were kids who were growing up being so talented, and I'm realizing and learning that these talents that kids are developing and the skills that they work on and develop, it's because their family has strong values around developing those things, and their parents have encouraged them to develop those things. And you know, when I was growing up, my parents tried really hard. They worked really hard to get me to take classes, sign me up for classes. I actually took a course in modeling, believe it or not. And that was interesting. It was fun. I took that with my sister back when I was a preteen then. And you know, they thought it would be a good way for me to like learn some skills or just grow in some confidence or something. And it was interesting. And then, you know, I like to sing. And so they did actually sign me up for voice lessons, because my school was so small. We didn't have any choir. We didn't even have an orchestra. We just had a small band and a small marching band, which, you know, they encouraged me, and I played the percussion back in those days. But I've been learning that it takes so much more when we want our kids to succeed. I mean, I even took piano lessons when I was a kid. But my parents, they tried. They really tried, but I didn't, and they didn't, they did a great job. I will not fault my parents, not a bit. But I didn't pick up on the importance of these things, and I think that they really wanted me to be able to figure these things out on my own, and I'm really grateful for that, because that's something that I really value now, is that I have been able to have the freedom to make a lot of choices in my life, and my parents have always supported me and encouraged me to be independent. And so, you know, I don't really have to like worry about how they feel about me, because I know that they love me and approve of what I do. So anyways, as I've been learning about family culture and thinking that there are families that just seem to have it all together, and there are people whose kids are just so incredibly successful, and how I wish I could see my family ending up like that, or I wish that it seemed like my family had it all together, or that I had my act all together. And there are times when I really don't. I mean, I really don't have my act together. and that's okay. And that's just part of life. But the more that I learn about this concept about family culture and why we need to be intentional, and then tying it in with this idea about divine discontent, you know, the more I read, I would read a lot of parenting books, a lot of like self-help books and things like that. And every time I would read them, there would be this real cognitive dissonance between what I had just learned and my reality. You know, that I would learn all these concepts about, you know, how to treat my kids or how to talk to them or like how to teach them and how to encourage them. And then I would go home and feel stressed out and depressed and start shouting at everybody or something. Or I would just be discouraged because I'm overweight, or, you know, different things where I just go, wow, I just read this book about this perfect existence that this author may or may not have, but they've written about the ideal. You know what I mean? Like, these things are just like the ideal. And every time I learn different things about principles of truth, they are the ideal, but we still live in a fallen world, and we are imperfect people, where there's that cognitive dissonance between what the ideal is and what our reality is. And so that's something that I struggled with sometimes. I still do, because I just think I really want to get to that point where I feel like my life coincides with my beliefs and the vision that I want to have for my life. And that's another challenge with family culture, is that we have these vision and the visions that we have for our family culture. We, you know, we try to write out mission statements and catchphrases that encourage our kids to apply and adapt these principles and values and things. But on the day-to-day life, you know, there's that meme that's like, pardon the mess, my family is making memories. And then there's one that goes on to say of me screaming at them because the house is always a mess, you know? And it's just this, that's just the reality. But I've been thinking a lot more about this idea, because I think that when we feel this divine discontent, we can't just sit back and expect that there's nothing to do, or that we can coast through life, or anything like that. I think that, you know, if you're listening to this, and if you have a family and you're thinking about this stuff, you're very conscientious about the ways that you want to improve your family culture, the ways you want to instill good values in your children, whatever those values may be. And you want to help them to succeed. You want to be a successful family. You want them to thrive. You want to leave a legacy. And so you feel compelled to do something more than just coast through this existence or to coast through your family life. And you want to do more than just, you know, leave everything up to chance or to fate. You want to be a proactive part of this process of developing your family culture. And so there's a good chance that you feel this divine discontent because you can see the weakness that we have. You can see the places where we fall short and things like that. And yet it's so tempting to fall into that counterfeit, the paralyzing discouragement. How easy it is when we see another family that seems to be so together, or that mom that always seems to just have everything together, and she's fit and beautiful and perfect. And that's something that our culture at large is really twisting our minds around, the false counterfeit of feminism. That real feminism is supporting women no matter what they look like or no matter what they are dealing with in their lives. You know, as I was thinking about this concept, you know, when I first became a mom, it was really challenging because there was a lot of mommy judgment. And I felt it really strongly because I have different ideas, I feel like, at least where I was living when I started my family. I wanted to homeschool my kids. I wanted to have natural childbirth. I mean, I had to be induced with all four of my kids, but I didn't have any epidural. But anyways, you know, I know moms who schedule their C-sections and plan on bottle feeding. And then I also know moms who plan to home birth and breastfeed their children till they're preschoolers, you know, and who cares? Who cares? Anyways, it's just support each other and then realize that everybody is just trying to do their best with the knowledge that they have. And, you know, there's a book by Brené Brown where she talks about this. I think it's her Rising Strong book where she talks about, you know, if you really believe that people are doing the best they can with the knowledge that they have, then you can have charity for those people and just appreciate what they're trying to do. Because the reality is, we are all on our own paths. And I'm not talking about being on the same path in different places. We have our very own unique paths and very own unique trials and very own unique obstacles and things that we need to learn. We have our very own unique gifts. We have all of these things that make us completely different from each other. And so you may see somebody who looks like they have their act together, but you don't know what they're really struggling with. Because the truth is, everyone has a struggle. Everyone has a stressor. Everyone has something that they're dealing with. And I would never wish my trials on anybody else. And I don't think I want somebody else's trials either. So this is something that I've just been thinking more about. And Michelle Craig goes on to talk about some ways to deal with these feelings of divine discontent. One of the things she talked about was to act on good thoughts, act on thoughts, generous thoughts. And she shares a good story about somebody who had a generous thought, but then felt a little bit ashamed about it, but then followed through with it. And it's never a bad thing to have a generous thought. Another thing that I thought of, that when you feel these feelings of divine discontent, is to live after the manner of happiness. And this is another reference to Jeffrey Holland's talk by that name, Living After the Manner of Happiness, that he gave at Brigham Young University, Idaho. And what that means is that you live after the manner of happiness by living and learning the doctrine of your faith or your family canon. And that's something that's really super important to family culture, is that you are regularly studying from your family canon. And that could be scriptures. It could be the constitution of your country. It could be a series of classic books that you refer back to. These are things that will instill the values that you want for your family and will keep them in the forefront of your family, of your family culture. And so when you regularly study those things, then you will learn what you can do with those feelings of divine discontent. They will teach you what to do, what the next steps will be, how you can serve God or serve your fellow man. The next thing with following living after the manner of happiness is to choose to be happy and take responsibility for your own happiness. So I talk about this in my coping strategy course, is, you know, that we need to take responsibility for our own happiness. And a lot of times it's really that simple. We can choose to be happy. We can choose to fill our lives with things that create happy thoughts, you know, and avoid things that create more negative thoughts. And it's just so important. I mean, their thoughts, one of the things I learned from Napoleon Hill was how thoughts, your brain cannot discern the difference between truth and your perception, or it can't see the difference between reality and your thoughts. So your thoughts really can shape your reality. And so you need to fill your life with uplifting things, fill your life with light and truth, and take responsibility for those thoughts. And avoid the things that can create more negativity. And then the last thing about living after the manner of happiness is to be industrious, to live with your definiteness of purpose. And that's another Napoleon Hill principle. He talks about living with the definiteness of purpose, or your authentic expression. And that's something that I've really appreciated, this principle of, you know, finding your authentic expression, because everybody has like a gift or a skill that brings them fulfillment and excitement and passion and the ability to just lift your heart and your life. And so finding that thing, even if it's just putting yourself more fully into your vocation, or putting yourself more fully into being a parent, or in service to the community, or service in your church, or service to your extended family, or elderly people, or children, or whatever it is, that will bring you happiness, more happiness. I mean, this is something that I have definitely learned over the last 10 years of dealing with depression, dealing with feelings of inadequacy, questioning my path, questioning my choices, that it's not so much about the choices or the decisions that we make, but what we do after we make those decisions. And so I need to take more responsibility for my own choices and start doing things that will be living after the manner of happiness and sticking to that definiteness of purpose. That's something that I've learned from starting and doing this podcast, is that, you know, in the past, like I told you about doing the piano or modeling or voice, I really only considered those things as a hobby or something that I did in passing, and didn't really pursue them as something that I could do until I was an expert. But now that I'm learning about doing this podcast and doing something that is this fulfilling, that I need to let go of the outcome and just embrace and enjoy the process of it. Because through the process, I'm really learning, and I've been able to stick to it for longer than I've stuck with pretty much anything that I've been interested in. I mean, I stuck with being in band for the, you know, 6 years in school and grade school and things, because I had to and I enjoyed it. But, and I also have been doing singing for a long, long time, but I've never really like dove into it, into like to really deeply explore and appreciate it. And so that's something that I encourage too, is to do something that you can do and do it well. Do it in spite of the obstacles and learn how to overcome those obstacles. Learn how to, you know, jump over those hurdles, because they will help you to grow. And through that, and through experiencing the things that I have been for the last 10 years, I've also been learning a lot about grace. And that is the next thing about understanding these feelings about divine discontent, is that we need to learn about grace. I can tell you that grace is an incredibly powerful tool to letting go of the feelings of doubt and inadequacy. That if you are Christian, if you believe in God, that's what I've learned, is that God is not waiting at the end of your life to stand at those pearly gates or whatever and check off the do's and don'ts or the dids and duns or whatever of your life. He's right there next to you, walking along the path with you. You know, there's that footprints in the sand poem where, you know, when there was one set of footprints, it was then that he carried me. That's true. And that God doesn't want to just see you struggle through life. But I think that this idea about divine discontent is another way that we are being compelled, that I'm being compelled personally, to increase my faith and to appreciate more this concept of grace. Because I find myself questioning sometimes, going, where is my grace? Where is my, you know, where is this divine help in the times when I'm truly struggling? And the divine discontent is coming to me going, I know you're questioning and I know you're doubting, or you have these feelings. And so go and study it out, or go and test the Lord. Go and nourish this seed of faith that it needs to grow. A seed won't grow if we don't nourish it or work on it. And so when we feel divine discontent around our faith, that's the time when God is challenging us to do more about it and to work on our faith through study, through prayer, through acts of service, through living after the manner of happiness, and through learning about grace. Because we aren't here to just coast through life. And that's my challenge through this topic, through this brand that I'm developing, is to learn how to do more, to respond to this divine discontent that is challenging us, and to not give in to the thoughts of paralyzing discouragement. You know, I was told once that to pay attention to those feelings of jealousy, because when you feel jealousy, it's really your subconscious telling you about changes that you want to make in your life. And on one hand, I think that may be kind of true, but we really that's a very slippery slope. When you are jealous, it's so easy to fall into the paralyzing discouragement trap. But jealousy is, I mean, it could be. I mean, if you examine it and you look at it, you go, well, maybe I'm jealous of so-and-so that always appears this way because that's what I want in my life. And if that's the case, then allow divine discontent to motivate you towards that, but do it for you, not to try and become like the other person or to compare yourself to that other person. Again, you are on your own path, and nobody can tell you what that path is or what it looks like. So one more thing I want to tell you about is in this talk by Michelle Craig, she refers to C.S. Lewis from his book Mere Christianity. And he says that C.S. Lewis explains God's transforming power this way. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he is doing. He is getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably. You see, he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. The house that we are building, through our families, through the culture that we're developing, through our legacies. If you are listening to this, I hope that it's because you are conscientious about the palace that God is envisioning for you and your family, and that you are hopeful of that possibility. And there are going to be days when it's hard, lots and lots and lots of days, as you probably know. But those are the days when we can either feel discouraged or we can feel compelled to make a change. That's what our family culture is about, and being intentional is pausing to examine how things operate and to examine whether or not it's working for you and your family. If you look at it and you go, oh, well, it's just the custom. It's just what my parents did. Or you're fighting with your spouse going, well, that's what my parents did. Well, that's what my parents did. Then that's a time to stop and reexamine what the custom is so that you can decide whether or not it's serving your family. And if you feel like just anytime you feel like something is amiss, to stop and listen to what the prompting or what those thoughts are telling you, and to just remember that it's your own path, that it's your own family and your own values that you need to work on. You know, I watched a video recently. I can't remember the name. She's viral. So if you've seen this, I'm sure you'd know who it is. It was this video and somebody wrote in and was like, well, my kids are always saying, well, so-and-so family does this, or my friends do that. My friends do this. My friends play video games, or my friends do blah, 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 whatever it is. And her answer was, well, my friends, and she's referring to her mom friends, you know, my friends don't let their kids eat any sugar. My friends don't let their kids have TV at all in their house. Maybe we should start doing the things that my friends are doing. And it was so funny because, you know, that's such a great response. Because my response to that, when my kids say, well, my friends are doing this and that, well, I say, well, we're not your friends. We're not them. And they have different values and they have different standards, or they have different goals or whatever it is. And that's not us. But, you know, that's such a funny reaction to this idea. Like, well, my friends do X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, other families, other parents, you know, you can try and you can compare yourself to other families. But ultimately, that's the answer is just, well, they're different. They just do things differently, and that's okay. And so that's my challenge, is to stop examining what other people are doing and comparing your life to them. That's the fastest way to fall into the trap of paralyzing discouragement. Number two, when you feel a sense of divine discontent or cognitive dissonance about your life and the life you wish you had, then pause and examine those things, and then start acting on thoughts of goodness and generosity and inspiration to serve. Act on those things. Don't suppress those thoughts. And then live after the manner of happiness. Refer back to your family classic every day or very, very frequently. Choose to be happy. Choose to fill your life with light and happiness. And then be industrious and do something that is an expression of your authentic self. And then finally, learn about grace. You don't have to do this alone. There are angels all around that want to help and take care of you, or, you know, people who are in the same boat that you can learn from or want to help you. And then there's always God. And the reason why you feel this divine discontent is that it's God inspiring you to pause and figure out what needs to change, and that's okay. And it will be a harrowing experience. Change is never easy, you know, and like when my kids get a cut or something and I clean it out, I put a Band-Aid on it, and they say, "Oh, it still hurts." And I go, "Well, healing hurts. It's not like it's suddenly going to feel better. Healing hurts, and that's okay." So thank you again for listening. I really appreciate your feedback. I appreciate learning about you, and thank you again for listening. You can follow me on social media. I'm at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest. And on Twitter, I'm at _family_culture. Come and check out my show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com. And leave comments or share. I'd really appreciate if you'd share with your friends and leave reviews and ratings on whatever podcasting medium you listen to. And thank you again for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family."